Father, just bless this time. And your son's name, amen. I just had a few thoughts tonight, but I wanted to first talk about, like, you know, it was a beautiful time on Sunday when we sang that song, Grace Amazing. You guys remember that? That's just an amazing song. That song, I was going to tell you a little bit of the history, but I was just really begging God. Like, I really wanted a good song on grace. And I went through like 1,000 songs to find that one. More recently. Because I wanted something that really talked about who God is. And that's kind of the thing is, when we talk about the attributes of God, when we talk about what God is like and who God is, then glory comes in. There was a time when, during the reign of Hezekiah, when they are, you know, putting the temple in place or what have you, and the glory of the Lord comes in. What I mean to say is that when we celebrate and when we really understand who God is and we have that moment and we really declare who God is, you will note the glory comes in. It is an amazing thing. There is something that you cannot put into words. Like, you know, we sang a lot of songs Sunday, and we've sung songs before, right? But there was something special about, I noted, and then I noted other people noting it to me, where when we sang Grace Amazing, and especially at the closing, and some were singing it at the top of their lungs, I found myself singing it for days, just to shout that out, this is who God is. And then as Pastor Jay was describing who God is, basically that's what he has been describing, right? Who God is in this series. And as he's described it, there's something that in my heart says, I agree. This is it. Where when it comes to like the law, that is not the case, right? When it comes to the, that is not the case. It is like, I find myself saying, I don't agree. I'm upset. You know, I'll give you an example of this. I was told in the class that more recently, that just recently, there, I guess they've been teaching in the Bible College in New Testament Survey, someone raised their hand, and I don't know who's in that class, so, but they, and then there were a couple other people, and there was a little bit of a discussion, and it could have gotten out of hand, but the discussion was about women pastors and women preachers, and it was interesting. And actually, you know, someone said, I really wish you were there because, you know, to have said something, what have you. But I said to the person, I said, listen, I understand where this is coming from because it's interesting. It's no different than Pastor Jay saying that he was at that one place where it says, do not write on the wall, right? And you could, all that was on the wall was everyone writing. And you, because it is the law to tell, to beat down on women and says, you cannot preach. Now, don't get me, I mean, there are commandments everywhere. Do not. So this isn't about the right, what the scriptures have to say, but this is about, as Pastor Jay described, legalism. This idea that I beat you down with it. Because here's the thing. If that's the main point I want to make to women, then of course there's going to be, like, you know, either I'm going to have no self-image, like God passed over women, or I'm going to be rebellious, because there's nothing really edifying in you just telling me that. Like, 2 messages ago, the title of Pastor Jay's message was "The Letter Kills," right? Mm-hmm. It'll kill you. You read this Bible on your own and it can kill you. If you do not have the Holy Spirit to interpret God's mind to you, to me, it will kill you. It will. You can walk out of here. I have sat in the same message, same person, I mean, was next to somebody, and we have walked out of a message and gotten 2 different things. And then, like, were you just in the same church service I was in? Because if, Christ put it this way, if I put new wine in an old wineskin, doesn't work. Okay? So I have to put new wine in a new wineskin. New wineskin for me is how I am interpreting. Okay? You know, like Sarah's here and I picked up my translation app and I'm trying to like make sentences and what have you. And then you can translate something, but there's something about interpreting something. Because you and I, we all know English, but isn't it that you may say something, like right now, I would say for this body of believers at Grace Words Bible Church, we are learning the art of interpretation for this, probably the next year. Some have been together for years. Some over here, some over here, some are brand new over here, some families. We are all coming together and we are trying to interpret each other. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
So you're giving each other a lot of grace. You're trying to, you put the best meaning on something. Oh, they said that. Oh, they didn't do that. Oh, they didn't include that or whatever. And you do your best to interpret their motives toward the best. And it's going to take some time. But that's not a bit, that's not anything wrong, but it just speaks of, I can read this Bible or hear a message and misinterpret it. I can walk out, I could, just like I can, you could say something to me and I can misinterpret it. If I can do that in common life, how much more would Satan like me to misinterpret who God is? Of course he wants me to. So here we go. We go back to that illustration. So these women, the only thing they have hammering, and I've been overseas where this is the case, the only thing they have hammering from the pulpit is men telling them, you can't preach, you can't whatever, your best, what you bring to the kingdom is washing the floor, you know? And that can be very like,
downgrading.
Yes, and so you're gonna get the rebellion. It's very downgrading because the letter kills. It's gonna make me rebellious. So, you know, I said to the person, I said, honestly, and I heard that, you know, that he handled it well, but he said, you know, I don't wanna make this a big deal because this is really not like one of the cardinal doctrines. It's not gonna get you into heaven or hell. And it's not one of, like, because we have in the Bible college, there's some people from different churches who go there. And they all have different things. Now, we don't believe in women pastors. But here's the thing, and this is what I told this to the person. I said, listen, did God put Adam and Eve in a desert and put a tree there and say don't eat?
No.
No. Before, we always talk about Genesis 3, but before Genesis 3 was Genesis 2. And he had put all of these trees of everything you could think of, all the fruits that you and I enjoy right now, he had put in the garden. God put every tree in the garden, and then he said, don't eat. It would be like if you, as moms, okay, if you put no food at all in the kitchen, then put chocolate chip cookies, put them in the center on the table and said, yep, exactly. I saw those eyes. And then said, don't touch this. But I'm hungry. Don't touch it. Right? Mm-hmm. That would be, so people are like a misinterpret. We have to be careful. I've been thinking about why are we talking about the attributes of God? We have to be careful because I can allow other people to wrongly interpret God to me. And it's like they want to put chocolate chip cookies on the table and deny me any other food and then say, don't eat. That's not my God. Last week we said God is what?
Good.
God is good. And the week before that, God is
faithful.
So why would God do that? You as parents wouldn't do that. I mean, you were babysitting, you wouldn't do that. You know, that's the worst thing you know. The one thing you know with babysitting, you know, the old little story. You tell little Johnny, don't put those beans in your ears and your nose, right?
That's the wrong thing.
Yeah. And within about 10 minutes, Johnny had a great idea. Those beans can go in my nose and the ears and mouth and everything else. And before you know it, you were pumping Johnny's stomach. You were in the hospital room and you were pulling beans out of his nose, you know, because you have told him all of the great ideas. Well, God didn't put a tree in the garden and say, this is a great idea. He said, and I want to just look at this because it's just an aspect of God's character. Because I don't want you just to believe me. It's important that you have something to hold on to. So let's turn to Genesis 2. Because I hear so much about Genesis 3 that I'm sure God is in heaven saying, I did other things, you know. Okay, in Genesis 2:9, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is what? Pleasant to the sight. God didn't even put ugly trees in the garden and then make the tree of knowledge of good and evil beautiful. Like, you know, they make, sometimes I've seen these little plays or movies, and they make the tree of knowledge of good and evil this beautiful tree, and every other tree looks bad. But that's not scriptural. Genesis 2:9 says, every tree was pleasant to the sight and good for food. You have your kitchen is stocked. There's potato chips, there's cake, there's what have you. And you just say, hey, listen, please don't touch the chocolate chip cookies. They're for aunt whatever. Or they're for the neighbor next door. But there's cake. You make sure, this is God. Before that, you point out all the things you can have. And then you just say, please, just please don't touch that. Okay? That's the thing. And honestly, that's important. So, and the tree of life also was in the midst of the garden. And then the last thing it talks about is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This is our God. Last week we said that God is good. God is good because he didn't put us in a desert, put that big tree and say, and have us hungry and thirsty and tell us, hey, don't eat that tree. Don't drink from that. Okay? No, it is Genesis 2:9. When we want to consider as early, like we're coming up on Easter week, my favorite time of year, and I like every day, even now, I begin thinking about Christ. He's in his final stages. He's about to go to Jerusalem, and I'd like to walk with him through the week. If you get a chance to just meditate on that, it's an amazing meditation to walk with him over this last journey. Well, I can walk with him in Genesis 2:9. He made a garden. He put me in the garden. He made sure there was good food. He made it not just good to eat. This is one of those things where mom puts it in front of you, so this is good. And you look at it like, my mom tried that. Brussels sprouts. No. No way. Okay. Not good. It's good. Then when they realize that you are onto their game, they move to, it's good for you. Okay. So I don't want it. But God made sure that it was pleasant to the sight and good for food. My life, God is good. And if Genesis 2:9, God is good. It is pleasant to the sight and it's good to eat. Only the things of God are that way. So I can't even let somebody tell me, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this and what have you. I understand what they're saying, but that is not the spirit of my God. It is not, I could go to another church, I could visit different places, and they are using the same Bible. One of my favorite, my favorite speech of all time, actually, is President Lincoln's second inaugural address. And in it, he's talking about this conflict. And he said, they're reading the same Bibles we're reading. And they were. But their interpretation was wrong. Because if you can enslave, if you can make a slave of another man, is that a right interpretation? No. And if I go to another church, or I hear from another, and God even warned them. He would talk about prophets. He said, if a prophet rises up and says these things, don't believe it. And that's why he said, I am giving you the word. Believe that. And so maybe someone would say, someone would say, I have two things. One would say, you can't preach. You're not a woman. You can't be a woman pastor, whatever. Yeah, but what you're saying is right. But but the spirit is wrong. Do you understand? And I have to be careful because, like Connie said, it will destroy me. Because your words are right, but you're destroying me. Do you understand? It's like, it's not building me up. It's not taking me somewhere.
Not giving you a message.
Yeah. And not giving me hope and a call and telling me that God has something. Because that's what I told this person. I said, listen, if a person's going to preach on that, and this is because I would have this conversation in villages with pastors. If you're going to speak on that, before you speak on that, you need to tell each woman their value to God and their part to play. Because there will be women in heaven that will be more rewarded than men. And some will have been pastors. Because it is not at all connected to whether you pastor or not. It is connected to whether you walk with God or not. And that is interesting. So I'm over here, and I have to be careful about people interpreting and telling me something in the wrong spirit, okay? Because the letter kills. Or I've got somebody over here who wants, and this happens all the time, because they'll hear me speak and speak to women, whatever, and they pull me out of order. And they want to say, you can be a women pastor, you can be whatever, and I have said to them, actually, that's not biblical. So I don't need to go over here, and I don't need to go over here, because there's plenty of land in between. There is a huge garden. There is a food pantry. There are chocolate eggs. There's soul winning. There's Bible club. Do you get me? There's women Bible study. There are missionaries around the world. There is my neighbor that I speak to. There is soul winning on the streets. I don't need this other tree. I have so much more. And all to say this, God is good. Because remember I said last week that the big attack is on this. If I go this way or this way, the only lie here that I'm receiving is that God is not good to you, Latasha. Because you have all of whatever in you and he is burying it. Or he is not going to let it shine. This little light of mine, he's going to let it shine. He gave the light. He put that desire in you. Why would he not put that desire in you? Why would he do that if he wasn't going to let it shine? Turn to 1 Samuel 1. Okay, now we know this story, but I'll go over it. There was a man, and he had two wives, in verse 2. And the name of one was Hannah, and the name of other was Peninnah. Peninnah. I don't really know how to say it. You know what?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm here. Thank you. Pound it. Okay. But Hannah had no children. Okay, here's the thing. Let's stop right there a second. It's like you could say, I've got urges and desires inside of me. That's like having no children. And you know what? In Isaiah 54, more are the children of the desolate or the barren woman. Meaning God is saying, God did this on purpose. He put these desires inside me. And he is going to work out within this whole land out here. It's not over here, you yelling at me, telling me what I can't do in the wrong spirit. And it's not over here, you trying to tell me I can do anything. Because that's also the wrong spirit. There's plenty of land in between. And I've said that to many a man and woman. And they have looked at me. I'm like, I have zero desire to do that which is outside of scriptures. It's never been... It's not gonna take me anywhere. But I have seen a good God being good to me, And he, as I have waited upon him, this is where it gets interesting. Many do not want to wait upon him. Some things, good things take time. Cheap things are fast. I want a boyfriend. Well, you can have one. And you can have the pregnancy too. And you can have the bondage too. And you can have the loss of virginity and all the sadness that comes with it too. You go right ahead. Or you can have the good thing that takes time. Okay? Good things take time, Grayson. Good things take time. You know? And it's like, and because they take time, so people want to say that God's not good. No, God is good. And he is good to those who wait upon him.
Amen.
Okay? It's like, and that's important. So I'm going to continue with this with that story, but this is kind of an important word for us. The Lord is good to those that wait upon him. I want to say it. Yeah, Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, and to the soul that seeks him. Okay, he's good. Be careful about, and then it says in the next verse, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord.
What verse is that?
Lamentations 3:25-26. So God's saying, I am good and I will be good to you. So don't go over here in the thou shalt nots and be like burdened by people beating you, and that's what we're going to look at in a second. And don't go over here and try to take something, because this is also out of order. You understand? They call it God. Eve was wrong, because it said in the garden that she saw that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was pleasant to the eyes and good to eat. Now most, I don't believe, have read. Not most, but many do not look at that scripture correctly. That's fine that Eve said that. The problem is in Genesis 2:9, God had already provided so much more. Okay? That's like I see a dollar on the table, $1, American dollar, 1 euro on the table. Okay? And then, but my mom gives me $100. Oh, and says, oh, can you leave that dollar there? Now, I just was given $100. That's what Eve had been given. $100, and she took the dollar instead. Instead. There's a big instead. It's not, we, Satan lies to us and says, you can have the $100 and the dollar. You cannot. It's instead. Do you understand? Like, when we, like I say, I will take this, I will have the trees of the garden, and I will have the good of knowledge. And Satan lies to us and says, you will. But as soon as she took and ate, she had lost the 100. And everything around her seemed different. She was different. She felt naked. She put clothes on. She hid. Everything seemed strange. She lost the pleasure of the $100 in a moment. God is good to those that wait upon him. The Lord is just good, and he asks us to wait. And he says, I have the 100 for you. But he doesn't say, oh, Latasha, I haven't had it. This is a private meditation of mine over a period of time. Oh, yeah, in heaven you'll have 100. No. God put it in the garden. He didn't, hear this, he didn't sit Adam and Eve down and say, in the future, I will give you trees that are good to the eat and pleasant to the eyes. He said, right now, you have them first. And then he says, please don't touch this tree. But he had the tree of life there as well, and that's a beautiful tree. He says, right now, I have the $100 for you. Not in the future. Don't worry, child. It'll all be better in heaven. Right now on earth, God is, Jeremiah 29:11, He is moving me towards somewhere. A destiny and a hope is the original Hebrew. Okay? Right now. Do you understand? It's so important. This is a big secret to the to a woman walking properly with God. I honestly believe it. The majority of the counsel that I have had to have with people is because women want to say either it's not fair, that's what this side is, or that they're nothing. And I have to say, wait a minute. What are you talking about? It's not fair. There is a land out here. There is $100 out. I don't see it. Wait for it. Because it's there. Just because your eyes are blinded by the $1. See, this is the thing. She's staring now at the $1. Could Eve, in that moment, see the $100 in front of her in that moment? Mm-hmm. And that's you and me. And one of the reasons God says wait is because I have to kind of calm down. You know, I have to calm down. And as women, we can get downright emotional. That's my right. You took this. You're taking my right. I lost this. You're taking this from me. No, 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 guys. Let's calm ourselves down. I promise you, it will be better. But we wait for it. We calm ourselves. I'm not saying don't. You bring your urges to the Lord. Remember, there's a story that's told of this woman. She loved a prophet in a good way. And every time he would come, she set a room for him. She and he would be there with her husband and set a room for him to stay. That was great. And the prophet really wanted to bless her. And he said, listen, what can I do to bless you? He said, nothing, I'm good. Then he found out that she had always wanted a son. So he gave her a son. And it was amazing. The son grew up, it was amazing. And then one day in the field, the son's in the field and the son dies. Now, think about that a moment. You and I have had urges and desires. And we've not said anything. And somebody said, oh, no, no, no. And then God has come and blessed us. And then he's taken it. In that moment, I could be very angry. I didn't even ask for it, and he took it from me. Okay? So, she goes to find the prophet. Prophet's on the way. And they ask her, like, is everything okay? The servant who gets it, and she says, it's well. It's well. This is the moment I can decide it is well with my soul. I've lost something, but I can decide to see the dollar or the $100. And she makes her way to the prophet and brings the prophet back, and he resurrects her son. Amazing. But when you get her on the way, we can be different. Servant comes to us, and we're on our way to find a prophet. Where's that stinking prophet? I never asked for that. How are you doing? How am I doing? I lost everything. What are you talking about? You took everything from me. Where is he? But really, the servant says, like, how are you doing? And he says, it's well. Why? Because ultimately, she had learned, watching this prophet over time, that she's going for him, all right. She's going to do business with him. But she learned that there's a big $100 out here, and it belongs to me. And basically, he said, bring my son back. This is key for us, because we can be these bitter women. Let's not be. Our God is a good God. We can be bitter and like talkative, like women who can talk. We can talk. We can bicker, we can talk under our breath, over our breath, through our breath, you know? But to say like, I want to wait on God. Maybe there's some, I'm not gonna trust you. You're not gonna trust me. We're going to trust him, that he is for me. So I can love you because he's for me and he's for you. If I lose that, that makes me want to fight you because I think you're not for me. But it really doesn't matter. I love you, you love me, and the only thing that matters is the all-powerful, all-faithful, all-good one is for both of us. So you can't really take anything from me. I lose nothing. Because if you could, then it would be like you could take something from God. Because I belong to him. That is the most calming. Sometimes I can find my heart aflutter, and then it just calms me. Wait a minute, Sasha. I'll give you an example, just a little peek in my life. We go to sometimes this book fair, different book fairs. I like to collect Christian books. All of these books here are all from that. I love to get Christian books. We love to distribute them overseas and distribute them around. So one year, I'll never forget this because it was a moment with me and God. It was years ago. One moment, all of a sudden these resellers came in and they had these machines. Because they make you stay outside and then they tell you go. And then you're allowed to go in and search among the books. But these resellers have these machines that are like this. And they look at each book and they're seeing if they can get more money for the books. And resell them. Now me, I don't want the books for that. I want to distribute them. I want to give them. Our books are now in India. They're in Cyprus. They're in parts of Africa. They're in China. They're all over. I love it. But I got frantic. Because the start time was about to be, and I see these guys, and they've got really weird haircuts, and you can tell they're just kind of, and this is a Christian book fair, but I realized that they had infiltrated, and it bothered me. And I'm like, you know what, I'm going to complain, I'm going to whatever, and the Holy Spirit says, shh, and God spoke to me then, there is not one book that they will touch that you're supposed to have. And that really spoke to me. And I have thought about it more times than I can think of right now since. I literally walked, the thing went in, and I just walked and I started, we'll grab our books, but I kept in the back of my head, you're not taking anything that doesn't belong to me. You're not taking from me. Do you understand? Then it made me, I'm not mad at them, I'm not whatever, you're not gonna take anything. Because my God is good. And it was easy. There's actually some who are like, who go to that thing and it's really funny and they bicker with each other and they're Christians and they're like, I don't like this person, whatever. And I've talked to them all and they all like us. Why? Because I realize I'm not fighting against you either. So I'm not fighting against you as Christians and I'm not fighting against the non-Christians. Why? Because you're not going to be taking anything from me that I'm supposed to have. If we all, children are like that, right? If any of you have a few children, the most important thing that needs, Pastor Jay said it, right? He loved up his one grandchild, right? So that she could feel like she should share her toys. Do you remember that story? Uh-huh. Okay. God does that with us, and I just have to let him love me. Because then it's easy for me to share. Because then it's fine. But God loves us up, and then it's free. I can love people freely. Why? The root cause is I must know that God is good and that he's for me. I got to know that. I've got to. Because then I'm not fighting. And then I'm not fighting inside or outside. I'm not upset. And honestly, I'm not Eve. I'm not taking what I shouldn't have. I have enough. Satan comes and says, yeah, but you don't have this. Yeah, but Satan, not to have that is not to say that I don't have enough. I have enough without that. And it will never be 101. It was meant to be 100, not one. Interesting. It was never meant to be 101, if you can follow my thinking. Meaning, whatever God has for me is like the $100. But he never said I can have him and Satan. They're not meant to be together. They will never be together. They're at war at all times. So, but if I think Satan tells me you can have both, it's a lie. God says, I'm good and I'm your father. That would be like some stranger coming to me and saying, I know that you have a father, like an earthly father. He said, but I can be your father too. Wouldn't that be weird? But I got a father. Yeah, but we can both be your father. That's what he does. That's exactly what he says. No, you can't be my father. What are you talking about? That's so strange. But he does it in our hearts. To you can have 101. God says, no, it's me and me only. Nobody plucks you out of my hand. Nobody. I'm the good shepherd, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And I know each one, and I count them and know them by name. They're mine. They're mine. They're mine. I don't share. God is not sharing with Satan. When Job was in the book of Job, Job chapter 1, he says, have you seen my servant Job? Not yours. It's not a share time. No, God and Satan don't have share time. They don't share. They're not supposed to. We belong to this kingdom now. And our God is good. So let us not buy the lie that Eve bought. That he's not good and that he's hiding something, the most important thing. We're all suffering for it now. Now let's just finish that story and we'll close with Hannah. Okay, and Hannah, so she didn't have any children. But here's the interesting thing. In verse 5, Elkanah, and that's her husband, he would give Hannah a double portion. He loved her a lot, even though, it says he loved Hannah in verse 5, but the Lord had closed up her womb. So we have these urges that says that, God, I don't understand these things. You're good. And her adversary, this is for the other wife, it said, used to provoke her sore, poke, 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 to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. We have an adversary. We have an enemy. And he wants to say, you've got nothing here, Latasha. And as this happened often. In verse 7, as she was provoked, she wept. She couldn't eat. And this is interesting. And this is the last point I want to make. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her in verse 8, why are you weeping? Why haven't you eaten? Why is your heart upset? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? We could say, God would say to us, am I not enough for you better than 10 sons? Some people will say that God is saying that to us. Hey, it's not, why are you so upset? Because you can't, you're not supposed to be one of the pastors, or you're not supposed to do this, or why that. And it's something in our heart that says, something's not right. Now, Hannah, it says in this verse, she never responded to him. And actually, in verse 10, in the bitterness of her soul, she prayed unto the Lord and wept. Ladies, God is not saying to give up your burden. If he gave it to you, there's a reason for it. And it's not, maybe someone or Satan would come along and he would be like an angel of light and says, you should just be satisfied just to do that little thing. And it's an angel of light. Because honestly, if there is an urge toward godliness, that is from God. But I must wait on him. And Hannah, she prayed. She brought it to God. She didn't complain to her husband. She didn't complain to the high priest. She waited and prayed. And she vowed a vow to God. Who? To God. Not chat, 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 chat to the person next to me. To God. And she said, if you will look on my affliction and remember me and not forget me, but will give me a son, I will give him to you for the rest of his life. And you know what? God did it. God, interesting, he didn't tell her, you should be just happy with your husband, or you should be, he said, I put this burden in you for something more. And her son, it was so interesting, as she prayed, that it was so intense that actually in verse 13, the high priest thought that she was drunk. And she wasn't. She just wanted more. It's okay to want more. I don't need to want what I'm not allowed. Eve, you can want more. You can have more of God. As much of God as I want, I can have. I can have outlets and outreach. I could have a dream. I'm all about dream a dream, ladies. Let God infiltrate your imagination with him. I dream of York. I dream of the world. And if you spend any time with me, you know that's true. This is how I dream. This is what I think about all day long. Like, you know, I was telling, Ivy and I were talking, and I said, every chair, every space here represents a child to me. And I'm not saying, and that's just how I think. It's not like I just think that way. Every empty space in the pew represents a person in York who's supposed to be there tonight. It's just how I think. Dream a dream. I don't know what it is, what outreach, whatever that God has given you, dream a dream and wait upon Him. And when someone comes to you and says, you should be happy, you have enough, you have this, just smile. But you don't have to accept it. But you can dream a dream, and no man or woman can stop what God can do to through you and for you. Why? Because God is good. But we wait upon Him. And Hannah ended up having Samuel, the first prophet of the Lord. And he was an amazing man of God. And when she had him, she took him, nurtured him, and easily gave him back to God. And she sang this song. And we believe, many believe, that if you look at Mary's song, when she knew she was going to have Christ, and her song, if you read them both, they sound an awful lot alike. Here's the thing. What God gives, that burden, that whatever, God is planning to wait upon Him. He will find an outlet. Trust Him. He's never failed you yet. He's good. He's really good. And He's good to you. Not just like He's good up here. He's good to you. He's good to me. And not just like I had to give that small example at the book fair, and I had to just kind of almost give my own heart, like it's okay, Natasha. You're okay. God's got you. God's got you. And I've had moments of that, and I've had to remember that, where all of a sudden it seems like I'm going to get lost in the shuffle or whatever. And then God stopped me, and He said, it's okay. I got you. I got you, Natasha. Learn to hear that. That is what the comfort of God is like in Psalm 94. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, I was thinking about that this morning. These comforts, they delight my soul. These are comforts of God. It's like a child resting, a small child, when they're really comfortable, will rest on their dad's lap or their mom's lap and just rest there. It's a place of comfort. And I need to have that with God, because they know this place is protected, that their parents are good and loving and kind. And our God is good. And all of these things that He has for you, inside of you, you don't need to force them. Hannah waited. I mean, she was intense. Hey, they thought she was drunk. Her husband's trying to, like, whatever, but it never convinced her. She was totally, released after that. And then afterwards, God gave her more. But God had a purpose. God had a purpose in Hannah's burden. God has a purpose in yours. It's bigger than you. So let Him be good to you, because in being good to you, He will be being good to others. The way He works. He was good to Hannah, and as such, He was good to the nation of Israel. Let's not fight for things over here. You know, you can do this. You can. No, I can't. But there are things. Oh, I get fight for your rights. They just took your rights away. We're moving out of here in like 2 weeks. Ugh. You know, because they took our rights away. Now, you can say that, or you can say, wait a minute. And God has given me a verse. There is very much more land to be possessed. There's much more. This is what they do, whatever, it's small. What is man? All man does is hasten, move God's plan along. These people are not interrupting God's plan. We would have settled here, maybe. But we need to move more out into this great city of York, okay? And here's the thing. That's over here. So God is good to us. So we don't worry about that. You don't worry about over here. You don't worry about those who would, you know, beat you down. You can't do this and you can't do that. And they're like using the Bible to beat you over the head. That's the legalism. I reject that as well. I reject both. I reject both because neither is God. They are on the side of the tree of knowledge of good and the side of evil. Both are not of God. I choose the way of grace. It is by grace I have been saved, through faith. That, not of myself, it is a gift of God. That's the way we choose. And God will show us a better way because he's good. Amen?
Amen to that.
Amen.
Any comments or questions? Or?
You did it very good.
Thank you. Coming from you, like I said, the compliments don't get any higher than that for me.
Come on.
It's true. And that, isn't it true, though? Can you feel it in your heart sometimes? You almost want to fight for this. I feel it, you know. And then it's like I have to have the Holy Spirit tell me, it's okay, Latasha. You know, it's okay. Really. I got you. And once I really know that, it's honestly, it's I feel like I'm almost like settling back in this chair. I rest. It's okay. You know, it's okay. And actually, that happened with Hannah. We didn't read that, but after the high priest said, okay, he said, okay, you'll have your prayer, it's answered. Then she just went back about her business. Because she was at peace.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because she knew that God was going to come through.
Mm-hmm. He gives you that peace.
Yeah, he gives you that peace. Say, rest in me. Relax. I'm going to take care of this. Now watch me work. You know?
Right.
And that's what, you know, even with, you know, this house and different things, I don't know what God's going to do, but I do know one thing. He will do valiantly. He will do well. He doeth all things well. That's what they said about him, you know, in the New Testament as they watched Christ. You know, he doeth all things well. You know, God does all things good. He just does.
Where he guides, he provides.
Amen. Amen. So let's, you know, like, let's, like, practice that, resting in God. Resting, and then it's fine. Because what good is if we get these things and we don't have that peace? Because at the end of it, I can find myself frustrated, and whatever it is, you know. Because what if, you know, Hannah had got it with her own hands and did all this and did all that, you know? And sometimes we can say, "Oh, this is a miracle," and well, it's a miracle that you made. It's not a miracle, you know. Because I got it with my own hand. Do you understand? Well, God wants to provide. He delights in that. And he wants to give us what he has given us a burden for. So, okay, the other thing I forgot I wanted to go over is, okay, so this next weekend is quite like the big, you know, it's big weekend. So I just wanted to go over a few things about it in general. We're, as you can see, I'm kind of bummy looking, and I'm going back to the church to continue my bummy looking. We've been sleeping there. But as we put the bathroom in order, and there's some problems, and God knows all these things. So, you know, God is going to take care of all of that stuff. We even recently just got a donation specifically for that. From somebody who is not a part of this ministry,
God bless.
You know, but who saw the Bible Club, and this just happened today. We got the phone call, so
wow.
God is good, you know,
awesome.
Because to help pay for some of these things, we, you know, it's amazing, but so God is good. So starting next week, personal challenge is that you have, and it means. You could go through, you can look it up online, or if you don't have it online and you want it, I can give it to you. And basically, I can give you the scriptures for each day of the week where Christ was at. It's just a cool thing to do.
Yes.
Even if you read a little bit about it. Maybe you can't read everything, but just get the gist. And just see, like, Christ's last week on the earth. I just really love doing it. Like I said, I can get that to you if you'd like. I'll tell you what, I'll have copies on Sunday. Okay, and if you want it, just come up to me and I'll give you a copy and you can just kind of go through. I love it. At this time of year, I love it. I watch Jesus of Nazareth. I love it. I just love thinking about it. So let that be. So we have Palm Sunday, his entry. We'll have the palms and whatnot. That's exciting. And then the next Thursday night, officially, there will not be a Bible study, but there will be opportunity if you would like. Thursday night, if for those who want to, we will meet here. What time is that thing?
7 o'clock.
We would meet here earlier at 6, okay? And then we will drive to, the main church in Baltimore is putting on a big Easter play. It's like an hour and a half. It's the full thing, Christ crucified, the whole nine yards. And we would drive to see it, and you'd probably be back by about 9:30, okay? But it's going to be, incredible. They're pulling out all the stops, and so I like to at least, I always try to at least view something if I can. So there'll be no official Bible study, but we'll be leaving here at 6 o'clock to go to that play. And you're welcome. We have a 15-passenger van. And we'll just stuff it with whoever would like to come. That's Thursday. Friday night is Good Friday. So there's a lot that will go on Good Friday for us. Friday afternoon, I should say, will be, because of schedules or whatever, that will be the preparation, if you will, Easter. So I know we have lots of eggs and whatever, but God will take care. The main point, okay, because Saturday is an Easter egg hunt, a Seder, and then the outreach of the balloon outreach, right? Okay, the main point, ladies, is actually, we want to be very careful here. The main point, my prayer, I have one prayer. I would like 10 families to visit our church on Saturday for the Easter egg hunt. 10. I'm not going for big numbers. We're not trying to give all the kids in the neighborhood a place. There are Easter egg hunts everywhere. I was at York Suburban Park. I was at different places. They're all over the place. Ours is not that. We want to bring life to a family. So the Easter egg hunt is what we call our fish hook. We're just fishing, reeling them in, okay? And so that's why we are going to keep it contained. They will come in on around 11, and I'm putting that down. And there will be a presentation of Bible Club. They're going to have a slideshow, tell a little about. It's kind of like we're going to tell a little about who we are and what we are and what we're about. And then there'll be a very simplistic Easter egg hunt. We're not on purpose going to the park. And so it'll be Fast and Furious Easter egg hunt. It'll be the fastest Easter egg hunt you've ever seen. We're literally putting the eggs right out in plain sight. It's like the way God did in the Garden of Eden. We just missed it. They're in plain sight. And they collect them. They come back in. Because then when they come back in, we're going to have a meal for them. And our point is just to spend time with them. Okay? So it's not. That's really what it is. Honestly, we really could have, if we wanted to, probably have, I don't know, multiple hundreds of children. But what we're trying to get families, I want to talk to moms and dads and uncles and what grandmas and different ones. That's what we want. That's why the Easter egg hunt, the prizes are based upon families. There's a first, second, and third prize. But you can say, okay, I'm not going to bring my family. That's fine. But there's another family who, this is my cousin, my uncle, whatever, they're going to win. Because they got 5 people going out there hunting eggs. It's based upon families. And some of the, don't get me wrong, some of the eggs will have, we have some prizes, some of the eggs will have surprises. They'll have a little piece of paper that says S on them. And that allows them to come pick from the S table. There are very few and far between. But the main point is families. And we have these nice Easter egg baskets that different people from the community, businesses, whether it's like Weiss, who else? Lowe's, different ones. So gift baskets full of that kind of stuff. Lone Star. We're going to have the gift baskets. That's first, and Bibles inside. So it's a nice gift basket. It really is. For first, second, and third, and candy, the usual thing. It's we're gonna have those up on stage when they come in. They're gonna want to win it. It isn't one of those things where all the church tricked me. All I saw were like, they're gonna want to win it. But we just want it, and also it's our church family as well. It's more just like it's really just. It's all like to see just for them to see community. Like I talked to a young mom over here. She was excited to bring her family. She's just literally, she's three houses down from our church on the side street. And I'm going to, you know, hit them on Saturday. At Saturday, on purpose, we're going to, you know, we want to spend time and just, if we got five of those families to come, that would be a win-win for me. Because we want to attract them. A lot of people have been damaged, like this past Monday night, I don't want to say where, but some of our people went to visit someone else. And they just talked about how they got so damaged by the church, another church, and it's made them not want to cross the threshold. So sometimes the way you get them in is through the back door. So I'm all about back door things. Like Connie had an idea, we're going to do a carnival this spring. Of course, we're going to do as many back door things to make them get inside the church and realize that God loves them. And that this, you know, but you have to offer these things so that people understand that. So the Easter egg hunt is low key. It's just meant to for us to kind of bring them in. And then I think we'll wow them by Saturday night with the balloon outreach. Because Sunday.
Can I stop you there?
Oh, yeah.
The balloon outreach Saturday night is just filling the balloons.
Okay.
I get up at 6 o'clock Easter morning. And put them out on.
And we are with you.
Okay.
We're going to be there.
I'm going to be there too.
Okay. I've never done this before, but I'm going to.
6 o'clock in the morning.
We're all about it. Okay. So we're going to be out there putting the balloons out. Okay. So.
And they're asking for it again.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. But that's what I like about, so we have a little egg hunt. Now they see and they get to know us. We're considering Easter Sunday let's call it our grand opening, kind of. And it's a great place to have an anniversary on. And it'll be, so it's our, we had what we call, they call it a soft opening, you know, in a business where you're running business as usual, but then all of a sudden you have the grand opening. And I like the balloons, the Easter egg hunt, the dinner, the whole nine yards. And I just want to be, I'm praying for great weather and I want to be walking the streets. I personally want to be, I want people to see like churches outside, you know, come on in, we've got like what have you. And we want to do more and more of that as the weather gets better, you know, and just so that people can be a part of that. So it's a Easter weekend could, you know, it's a lot. Do what you think you can. Don't feel obligated to do everything, please. But if you can, there's a lot to be involved in. Like I'm going to do the best I can to be involved in everything. At some point, if you see my body on the floor, just roll me over out of the way. But I love every aspect of what's happening. So beginning from Thursday night, Friday night is only the kind of semi break a little bit, but for those who will be doing eggs, we are putting Jesus of Nazareth screen, a movie on the big screen while we do the eggs. We'll be doing it in the whatever area, and we'll play it on the big screen. So that's Friday night. Some of us will be. Some will not be there because the youth Friday night will be, some of them will be going down to see the play. So some won't be here. So, because we're doing it Thursday and Friday night, but I really want for the ladies, because we need us to stuff those eggs and to do things like that. So Thursday night is our night for the play. And then Friday night is our night if you guys can come and help stuff the eggs. And we have to do things like get the meal ready, which will be sandwiches for Friday, get the stage ready for the presentation. So Friday night is big for us. And I was thinking about it last week, and I was like, this is cool. Like to put the Jesus of Nazareth on the big screen and just have it going. You know, and just kind of have, you know, remembering because it's Good Friday and just being edified with each other. Even if you can come for half an hour Friday night, whatever you can come and do that. And then also on Friday night, we'll get more of the lowdown on the balloons and because we're trying to do like exactly, you know, make sure our times are right and the Seder. And like do whatever you think you can and be a part of. But whatever you can't. But the one thing I want to say is please, please, please enjoy Easter weekend. Enjoy it. If you get through stressed or whatever, you missed it. Like, enjoy it. I'll have those things on Sunday. Enjoy it. Like, enjoy what you can do, and then just make sure, you know, like, just be blessed by God when you're not involved in something. Enjoy the weekend, and let God do, he could do remarkable things inside of you. And I always like opportunity when God can do that. I think that's why it's my favorite holiday, because it is, I don't know, it's just refreshing. As I was driving here, I was singing at the top of my lungs the song we were singing on Sunday, but it's about, you know, God coming and when he came in Jerusalem. And it's just incredible, you know. Let's just have those type of thoughts, you know, for this coming week with each other, for people who might be coming in, with neighbors. It looks like we're going to have a lot of visitors Easter week. Pray for us. As I said, we had a couple hiccups with the bathroom, but God gave us a solution, and we just have, God will do it. I've had perfect peace. The funniest thing is the more problems I've found, the more peace I've had. So I have to believe that God's in all of it, you know, and that he's gonna fix it, and it's gonna be beautiful. And when we're finished, that bathroom will be ADA compliant completely, meaning it's an ADA toilet for disabilities. It's the proper length bar, wheelchair. I mean, it's and it will be beautiful, and that's what I want. I want to be able to bless, and that's important. That is a part of our mandate as Christians. I want to have that, and also have a great place, and we'll take, it's going to be one room at a time. God will give it, and we're not like, there's no big rush, because God will do the whole thing, and it'll be beautiful, everything, and everyone will be blessed, you know. And I really believe that certain things are going to get bigger. I believe with my whole heart Food Pantry is going to get a lot bigger. I see it in my mind's eye. So we just have to prepare, you know, so God is like going to prepare things, because it will be a huge connection to the community. And it already has already been so, but I think now it will even be more, you know. God can do certain things even more. And a lot of you have parts to play that you have yet to know about yet.
Amen.
So it's one of those things, like, we wait upon God. Let him take his time. We don't need to rush out of the gate, but it will happen. There are things you personally haven't even thought of yet that you're supposed to think of that will happen. You know, so we just wait on God and we let it happen, and we enjoy the ride, because, you know, that's an amazing thing, is to enjoy the ride as well. Any questions on anything? Go ahead.
About the Seder program, can we pay up until the day of?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yes. I'm booked until then, so, but I definitely want to come.
Yeah.
So I can buy a ticket that same day.
Yeah, and then invite anyone or what have
yes.
you show up. We, you know, we want to do this because the people can get a taste. And I understand, honestly, if it was up to us, that the Seder would be free. But if we did the Seder free, our church would be bankrupt.
Right.
Because Easter weekend is already so big,
mm-hmm.
and it's already so many outreaches, and the Seder is, and unfortunately, because it's very specific to the type of food you have to have, the type of whatever, honestly, we're just breaking even. There isn't a dollar being made, you know what I mean? We're just going to be breaking even. So it's an opportunity. If you can go, please do, you know, but just in case, just to give a heads up on why that price is there. My gosh, if we could do it for free, we do it for free. But like I said, we also don't want all of these other outreaches to suffer because as a result. And I think if people want that, they God would be able to, as was taught to me many years ago through Oswald Chambers, a very famous Christian, that the same faith that the church needs every Sunday for tithe and offering, God could give that same faith to me to raise $20 for me to go. You know, he had a Bible college, very famous. Many would know him as he wrote a devotional called My Utmost for His Highest, okay? He had a Bible college, and he never charged any money. And he believed, because he said, well, God, the same faith I can, they need to pay, I can have to run the Bible college. So I believe that to a measure that the church does that. You know, there's certain things, as you know, on a church, every Sunday afternoon, there's no money for that little church cafe, fold things that we, you know, that spread. But other people have had faith because they have used their money to pay for that. Did you know that that does not come from church funds when we eat after church every Sunday, but that there are little angels among you every week that give to that to make that happen? Mm-hmm. And that's as it should be. We all have a part to play. There are all different parts people are playing, and it should be secret, and it should be good, and it should be God. But I'm saying, even the Seder is like, maybe God would have to give me the faith to say that, God, put $20 in my hand. Because it's one of the, I will say this last thing about the Seder. We believe it's important because we are right next door to that church. And even if it's a couple times a year, it creates what should be in the body of Christ. It creates what we call camaraderie. Mm-hmm. Okay? And it says that we are for the same thing. And so one of the reasons we are doing that, because our church's Bible college, Grace Words Bible Church's Bible College, they send their people too. We teach their people, okay? So this is important as well for that. Like, we want to be able to say, we're one with you. This is a joint project. So that's another reason why we want to do that. Probably another time of the year we'll do something else with them. Because we don't want that, I can't stand that bickering stuff that, like, this is mine, yours, it's not God, right? Christ said, you know, they wanted, James and John wanted fire and brimstone to come down on this guy speaking about Christ. And he says, what are you talking about? You know, that's why they called him sons of thunder, you know, because he's like, if he's not against me, he's with me, you know. If they're not against us, they're with us. And honestly, I'll be straight with you, if that wasn't for that church, we would not be here. Because 2 years ago, they asked us to come in through a connection all the way in Baltimore, and they said, we don't know the Bible. Can you guys come up here and teach the Bible? And I wasn't even thinking York. I was thinking more south, Virginia. But you couldn't, like, deny, and when we came, and all of a sudden God spoke very clear to me, and we moved. But it never was that God said that you were going to connect with this church. It was one of the interesting things. But that the message of grace would get across York. But we are definitely good friends with them, absolutely. Before Pastor Waltower was there, we were good friends with them. And because of the Bible college. And so we want to keep that connection, and we want to keep and all the connections I can in York. I love that Alex, many of you saw him, he's been around, the older gentleman running Teen Haven. This is not his church. Did you see him in there? You know how many nights he spent in there with us through the night working on electrical for us? He's not paid a dime. In fact, he's given to it. And this is not his church. But he believes, he said, his church is actually in the county, and he said, I believe in what you guys are doing here. So he has given his time. So let's just honor each other and and keep that in mind, that there's something bigger. That's what I'm saying. There's something bigger that none of us can put our finger on. But something, God is brewing something. He knows what he's doing, you know. But we just have to kind of go along for the ride for now. But you've got people from different churches coming and saying, that's interesting. We have another guy coming out, and he's from another church. They're not connected with us, but they believe in what they're seeing, and they're being ministered to, you know. So and that's how we all got together.
Right? Not to get off task, but it's kind of on and off. But Mr. Alex, how did you meet him? Well, let me tell you why I asked that before you answer the question, because last year he was really struggling with the girls in Teen Haven to try to do things with them, but he had no leaders for them specifically, just for the girls. So my granddaughter got to go to Teen Haven last year, and she also got to go to their camp, which was, she had an amazing time. But he always said, I'm sorry if I don't come to get them, but I don't know what to do with them because I don't have any women, like, to lead them and to guide them. Because let's face it, Mr. Alex is not that inclined to like paint nails and, you know, stuff like that. But then I come to Saturday Bible Club and there he is. And I'm like, well, this was definitely an answer to his prayers.
Yeah.
So how did you guys meet each other?
Same way that all of this, we met, you know, Pastor Elmer through Susan with insurance. We met Shiloh we had a ladies' home. Some of you know we run like Grace Women, and the electrician Catherine was ministering to and told him about Bible college. You need Bible college. And then one day, 6 years later, four years later, he calls up and says, "Okay, I'm ready." And he's up in York, and we're like, "Okay, well, you know, come down." And that's how this was. Him was kind of the same way. It's this house. So for all the whatever, this house gave us Phineas Davis. This house absolutely gave us the Bible Club, because we got in this house and we needed Comcast, Xfinity. We said, okay, we need this. We're gonna run a team house here. The guy comes out, and Niasha and Catherine, different ones, are ministering to him just like we normally do. And he says, "You guys are really on the ball. You really want, yep, this is what we plan to do. We're really in love with the city of York." Now, boy, granted, a year before that, I'd been on the streets. This is the crazy part. I'd been one block from where we are now. I was in front of that park, you know, the park down the hill, standing on the streets. And I even said to Shiloh people, I said, "There have got to be people in York who have a heart to reach York. Where are they?" And they were like, "We don't know." And they've honestly admitted one reason they were glad that we came. They said, "We don't go in the streets." That's why, if those who were here last Saturday saw Shiloh brought all of their kids to our program,
mm-hmm.
Because they said, "We don't know what we're doing." But I said, "I guarantee you, there's someone here." Now Alex's Teen Haven is only like three blocks away,
mm-hmm.
and this church was one block away. I'm sitting there, literally, I kept asking. I said, "I believe this can't be the case. We can't be the only ones. There are other people here, God. Put us with them." We come all the way here, Spring Garden, and the guy comes in, and he's like, you guys sound like Alex. You guys gotta talk to Alex." And we're like, "We don't know who this Alex is, but we're game for everything." So we call him. We're having like a team meeting, and we invite him just to come. Because they said, he needs people for his girls. This guy, he's just this one, this former guy who's kind of out to lunch even. It's like, "Yeah, you guys call." So we called him. He came to the team meeting, and our hearts were knit immediately. And
yes,
from that point on, and if you've noticed, we renovated the place with his place with him. Sometimes people stay there. Pastor Joe, from time to time, stays there. Alex has stayed there. Different ones will come, will stay there. And he's all... and we just, our hearts were knit from that point on. So, bottom line, but it's a bigger thing. It's bigger than all of us, you know? And I love that,
yes.
As I was looking at Alex today, because we rushed here, like, because he's in there trying to get our lights on or whatever, and I'm looking at him, and I just thought, this is so strange.
Mm-hmm.
But this is so God. And he rushed out because he has a young men's Bible study he was rushing to. You know, he's on the phone, whatever, but, you know, it's just like, you know, the one thing about it, who can tell the things of God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, anyway. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so big week, 6 o'clock on Thursday. We'll send a little reminder for those who can. I think you'll really enjoy it. Maybe to invite someone who hasn't, maybe, this is a good time. Hey, let's go see Easter play. I love Easter. It's my favorite holiday because I believe it's the number one holiday of renewal. For Christians, usually I go for the Christians. There are plenty of Christians that just got dry. They just got they whatever, and I really believe it, and I use it in my own heart. So I go for people like, hey, because it renews them. I mean, you're all here because of the cross. I'm here because of the cross. You watch a play about the cross; it's very evident.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people who have rededicated their lives on Easter weekend. So if you've got somebody like that who wants to stay away from the church, that's cool, because it's not churchy. We're just going to see a play. Or come to this, or come to that Seder, whatever. You know, I'm always thinking, what can I get somebody who won't go to anything else to come to? You know, or the Easter egg hunt. I've got family coming to the Easter egg hunt. We're going to win, that's why. I'm kidding. No, I don't really care. I'm not. But I've got family coming to the Easter egg hunt. You know, whatever I can get people involved or what have you, I'm going to do, because that's important. Sometimes that's the only thing that will grab them, you know. Like this one lady, like I said, who's just been, we don't know how damaged people have been. You can say, so-and-so doesn't come to church, she doesn't come to church. You have no idea. I've seen some really damaged women in Africa who have had crazy things. One of the churches I was in, the pastor was sleeping with all my friends, and I didn't know it.
Ooh.
I mean, I could not be in church today from all of that.
Wow.
And he would have sucked me in. He attempted to.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
there's a lot that you can, you know what I mean? So when we have people, oh yeah, we don't know their history, and we can pretend we do, but we don't. We don't know sometimes how damaging maybe some words that were said. And I don't want to go into testimonies or whatever. I just want to leave that with us to say that we don't know. So if we can get an opportunity to something unusual, to something whatever, think about that, because that may win them back. Because it's really hard. If, like, okay, you have a hospital, the hospital here. Now, I have a hospital like that. This is a true story. I went to it. Seemed like I was dying. Had an adverse reaction to medicine, and I couldn't breathe. Couldn't do anything. Had lost control of my body. My muscles were everywhere. I'm getting rushed to the hospital. I get in there, and I'm all over the floor, and they don't take me in right away, which is what they should have done.
Yes.
And then when they finally took me in, my brother, my mom, they're yelling, the doctors, they don't know what to do. And that traumatized me, because I knew that the next time I went to, and I still haven't been to their emergency room since, because I realized they don't know how to handle my case. There are people that will not come to church because the same thing has happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
They came in their moment of need, and somebody said something condemning. Somebody said something, obviously. Somebody said something harsh, somebody what have you. And they marked that church. And then they marked all churches. So some people would say, I'm not going to a hospital anymore. I have no people. I'm not going to the hospital anymore. This happened to me the last time. Or they say, I'm not going to that hospital anymore. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to win them. It's okay. I don't mind. I don't mind taking the effort. Christ won the common people. He gave them a different message. A different message wins them. The message of same message that won me wins them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That hospital got together and said, we turned over a new leaf and come all where we know, whatever. That would be intriguing to me. That's not going to happen. I don't go to the hospital. But as a church, we can be, because the same spirit. So use your opportunities well. And bring them to anything what you ever think you can, and let God do the rest, you know, and we'll see what happens. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right. We are adjourned.